to begin, and I want to talk to you about the dash. And so let's pray, and then I'm going to have you seated, and we're going to go. Father, I just pray today that you would help us to revalue life like you do. I ask you to take, Lord, help us see through your eyes sometimes and to really enjoy life as it was meant to be. Lord, I pray as even, let me just say this. I just see in my heart, I just feel a prophetic thing. I just see in my heart, like if you've got a diesel truck and you're there putting gasoline in your diesel truck, or you've got a gasoline engine car and you're sitting there putting diesel into your gas car, how that would affect the motor and affect the everything about that vehicle beginning to operate and do properly and all that. And I just feel that in my heart that some of you have been putting the wrong stuff in your life. And that's why there's a lot of mess up. That's why there's a lot of foul up. That's why there's a lot of stuff happening in your life that you wonder, what in the world's happening? Why is this going on? It's a repeat. It's this. It's that. And I just feel like it's going to help you today. So, Father, I just pray, give us wisdom. You said that we could ask of you and you would give it to us and you would not reprove us because we haven't asked in the past. But, Lord, today we ask for wisdom on how to really live life and live it abundantly. We ask in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen today. Amen. You can be seated and watch this little video called The Dash. Say amen, amen. You had to read fast, right? You had to read real fast. You know, I've done lots of funerals in my life and many, many years. And I'll never forget, it amazes me sometimes when I listen and watch the life. I remember John, you remember John Alleman? You remember John Alleman? And I'll never forget when we did his funeral, the people that stood up and began to share all that John had done for them. I mean, I was thinking, the guy must have had 10 lives. I mean, he was here and there and doing and all and loved them. But today, we're going to talk to you about the dash. And Matthew chapter 28, says, Jesus came to, and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And I think I may have the wrong scripture. I want the one that says, as you are going into the world. It says, as it says, go, you know, the Bible says, you know, the scripture 28:18, and it says, as you are going into the world. And it says, instead of literally the Aramaic says, it says, go into the world. It says, as you are going into the world, preach the gospel. As you are going into the world. That's a little different than just go into the world. It's like you stop everything, you just go do that. But literally it says, as you are going into the world, preach the gospel. And I often, and I want to talk to you about the dash, and that is how to live life in between. You know, one day you're going to have the your birth date, and then the day that you go to be with the Lord, and then that's going to be the two things on your tombstone. But there's that dash in between the two that literally speaks volumes of not just the day you were born or the day that you died, but the day and how you lived your entire life. And so what's your dash going to be summed up? How's it going to be? So I want to talk to you because I believe that many of us have starting times and ending times in other times of our life, and that dash is there, and it's like living life in between the two dates. Like this morning, you came here, and you got the time you left the house and the time you came home. Last Sunday was so funny. You know, how many of you knew it rained last Sunday? You know, it poured down rain last Sunday. Well, we had moved into our house over there on Thursday or Friday. We had just moved into our new home. And I got up thinking, oh, how great it is. I don't have to drive to church. I got up, and Jasmine was in California speaking at a church in California. They flew her out there, and she spoke and came back. She hadn't come back yet. I got up Sunday morning thinking, oh, it's so nice. I'm right here. I can do it. I go to my closet. I forgot all my clothes. Come on, somebody. I had to get in my car, drive all the way to the other house, get dressed, drive all the way back here. Had to do it twice. Hallelujah. I know you felt my pain last Sunday. And I've learned something about this, that God's purpose may not be the same thing as my goal. And I don't know if you've ever realized that. Your goal may not be God's goal for your life. In fact, the goal may be something God only put into your heart to get you on a path that along that path, as you are going, life is going to happen. And many times God will use a goal just to move you in a direction that He's got a purpose for you in that direction. And we think the purpose is the end goal, and yet in God's mind, it's what happens in between. It's on the way as you are going into all the world. You know, I'll never forget the story of a businessman. He worked and worked and built a company and got so big that he almost had a nervous breakdown. And his doctor finally demanded that he go take, you know, a month off, a sabbatical. And he did. He went to an island and by himself, and went there, was just every morning he'd get up, you know, and he had the withdrawal pains of you know, all this. And there was a fisherman, an elderly gentleman, a fisherman out there fishing. And he would fish, and he'd catch a few fish, and then his hut was right near the ocean, and he would see that he had his grandkids there and his son, and they'd all eat, and da-da-da. And then some days his son would come help him fish, and they'd come, and they'd spend the days on the beach, and you could see him. And so one day the businessman came out there, can I talk to you? Let me tell you how this can work. He said, if you will begin to get another boat, maybe buy a boat, then buy another one, then hire some of the other native friends, and you can start a corporation, a business. And the old man said, why? He said, well, because then you could start getting a business going and make more money and invest a little bit more. And he said, why? And he said, well, the end result is so that you can spend more time with your, come on, somebody. The old man just looks at him. Sometimes what we think is our goal is not necessarily God's purposes. Let me tell you something about the difference between being efficient and effective. We've got all kinds of electronic equipment. We keep up with the latest of whatever, you name it. We are information overload. But being efficient is not the same thing as being effective. You can have a to-do list. You can have your schedule. Being efficient is not the same as being effective. I remember a man ran into a doctor one time and said, doctor, give me the best thing you got for a hiccup, a chronic case of hiccups. And the doctor swore around, smacked the man right upside the face. And the man said, why didn't you do that? Well, you don't have the hiccups. No, but my wife still has. Come on, somebody. He was efficient but not effective. And we can be efficient but not effective. I remember I go to a doctor But he flooded out, but he's back in. But I remember I used to watch it because you could see down the hallway where the rooms were from the waiting room. And you ought to see the funniest thing was he would, because when I would go into, when he'd come in and see me, he was very patient, very kind, talk all this stuff. But I was watching down I was sitting one time in the waiting room watching down the, and when he came out of a room, you'd have seen he was like Bugs Bunny. He grabbed it, and then he'd go into the room just like that. How many know you can be busy, but you don't have to be hurried? You can be busy, and you can be moving fast, but you don't have to be worried. So you can be effective without being efficient. We've got more marriages falling apart, kids on drugs, addictions going wild. But efficient we are. We've got the latest technology. We keep up with this. We keep up with that. All that takes place. But we're not effective. So one of the keys is we need to revalue life. One of the stories I read one time of some kids that broke into a store, and they didn't steal anything. What they did was they took all the tags off everything and swapped all the tags around. You can imagine the next morning at the cashier's check. We had this happen one time. We were remodeling the office, and one of our girls had gone down to a painting place, a rug company, down on Government Street. I can't remember the Sarkedian Rugs, I think. And they had these humongous paintings down there, and they were gorgeous. And she came back. She said, they're all biblically based, and they're only $500 a piece. I said, really? I mean, they were gorgeous. So I said, let's go down there. So I went down there myself, and I picked out, and they had them. They had a bunch here, and they had to move everything out. And for about two hours, we moved stuff. I picked four of the nice paintings that they had, and I brought them up to the counter, and they lugged them. They're huge things. And he rang it up and said, that'll be $20,000. I said, what? He said, yeah, they're $5,000 a piece. She missed just one little zero. Come on, somebody. Do you know how embarrassing it is to say, it was embarrassing. It wasn't one of my better mornings. But they broke in. They put the wrong tags on the wrong thing. But you know what? We've done that in life. We've done that in life. We put value on this where the value is on that. I told you, I still remember, I said, who is ever going to be good enough to sit on the car seats that we grew up on? Because my mother and dad never removed the plastic, come on, somebody, off the car seat. And I used to always think, who is going to be good enough one day to really sit on this car seat? My mother, we had four boys, and we were a rowdy bunch. My mother never removed the plastic off the lamps. Come on, somebody, you know the plastic that comes on the lamps? She never removed the plastic. I don't care when they were brown and crackly, she never removed the plastic off the thing. We revalue stuff, and we have done that in life, though. We've done that in society. We've done it in our own lives. What is really valuable and what isn't valuable? What do we spend our life on, our dash on, when it's really going to be useless in eternity? What do we spend our life on when, or in a daily life, the rest of the day, what are you going to spend your life on that's really valuable and it's going to count for all of eternity? You know, Jesus really turned the apple cart upside down the day he was with them. Did I have Luke chapter 21? Did y'all get that? It says, they were at this treasury one time. They're watching the offering being given, and they're sitting around with Jesus, and he says this, and there's this little lady, you know, that brought, it was a little poor lady, and had all the rich people, and they were, you know, putting all kinds of stuff in. And this little poor lady came, and she put two little denarii in, or two little, which was just like half a penny, you know, not even a penny, half a penny. And Jesus looks and says, this woman has given more than all of them. Now watch the changing of the price tag in God's estimation. See, how many believe that Jesus spoke for God? You believe Jesus spoke for God? And this is the changing of in God's economy. Here's what's valuable. And he says, this woman has put in more than all the rest of them. And here's the reason why. He says, for they are contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. How many know she gave till it hurt? Thank you for your enthusiasm today. John Wesley said it this way. He said, I judge all things only by the price that they shall gain in eternity. Now, think of that. John Wesley said, I judge all things only by the price that they will be worth in eternity. Think that good. John Wesley said, I judge all things by the price they shall be worth in eternity. Put your kids beside the things you got. They did a study one time and showed that in African tribes, that many times the self-worth of kids are higher in an African tribe than in America. You know why? Don't touch that. You spilled it on that car. What did you do? Remember the baseball player that was out in the yard playing baseball with his kids? And his wife came out and said, you're killing the grass. And the guy said, I'm raising kids, not grass. You're raising kids, not carpet. I understand to be responsible and all that, but for God's sake, eat pizza on the carpet every once in a while. Come on, somebody. You know, my kid, Ben's kids, especially Elijah, I've got a thing with him. You ought to hear him. He shouts it now, too, because when I'm playing with them, my phone will ring. How many of your phone rings nonstop? My phone rings nonstop. But when I'm playing with them, I've started this early with them, and now Elijah shouts this when my phone rings. I'm playing with him. With my phone, I said, sorry, Miss Baba's playing with his kids. I can't talk to you right now. So now every time my phone rings, Elijah says, sorry, Miss Baba, can't talk to you right now. He's playing with his grandkids. Come on, somebody. In the life of Jesus, a lot of things happen on the way. You ever notice that? It wasn't that he had an appointment and he went there and then this happened. A lot of things happened on the way as he was going somewhere. He wasn't so task-oriented. He wasn't so, narrow-focused that he said, handed cards out, make an appointment to see my secretary, and talk to her, and she'll make an appointment sometime. He stopped along the way. A lot of his life happened in between Galilee and Jerusalem. One time he was going from Galilee to Jerusalem, and the Bible says he met the woman at the well. And he was on his way to Jerusalem, and yet he stopped. You remember blind Bartimaeus, he was just leaving Jericho on his way. He was going somewhere toward a goal. But in between, on the way, he stops, and that's the story of blind Bartimaeus. You read the story of Jairus. You remember Jairus' house. He was on his way to raise a little girl from the dead. And yet, on the way, a woman with an issue of blood stops him and touches the hem of his garment. You remember the story, and the whole entourage comes to an end. He was on his way to an objective. He was going somewhere. He had a goal in mind and a purpose. But see, God's purpose was to get him on that road so he could be intercepted by this woman with the issue of blood. And many times, the interruptions that we look in life is really the purpose and the reason God had you on. In the book of James, it says, when troubles enter your life, one translation says it this way, do not count them as enemies, but welcome them as friends. Next time you have a flat tire, say, hello, old friend, flat tire. Because you never know where God may be leading you or guiding you. I'll never forget this. My first month in pastoring here, I went up to Zachary, to Lane Memorial, and I was going to go visit somebody in the hospital. And this was the days before there were cell phones. Believe it or not, there was a time there was no cell phones. When I was driving in a car, you couldn't get me. You could not get me. How many know that? Let me tell you, I don't know why I remember this story. Is Bob Brunet here today, or is Bob here today? They're back there. I remember Bob, gave his testimony up in the church. I said, Bob, tell about Coach Lombardi, because Bob played for Coach Vince Lombardi the year that he coached for the Washington Redskins. And I said, I really like Vince Lombardi. I like him. And Bob said, he's the meanest man ever lived on the face of the earth. And Bob got laid out one time in one of the professional football games, and that they had taken him to the hospital. And Bob was telling the story that they had him in the operating room, and here came one of the assistant coaches with a bag phone, hands the bag phone to the doctor. Doctor says, I think something like 6 months, 3 weeks, puts the phone down, says, wrap him up, boys, take him out. Come on, somebody. I mean, if you did that today, you'd be put in prison or they'd be fired back in that day. But there was a time before there were phones. And I was up in Zachary at the Lane Memorial Hospital, and when I got there, the people had already checked out. So that didn't start my day well. It's a pretty good long drive to Zachary. So I got back in my car, but they had a payphone. How many remember what payphones were? How many remember you had to have a dime in your pocket to do a payphone? So I put the dime in the payphone. I call our office here. We have 6 lines coming into our office. It rang busy. 6 lines. coming into our church, and it rings busy. How many know my mind went, I hung that thing up. I waited about 5 minutes, called again. It six lines, it rang busy again. Put that phone up. How many know about this time? And this happened, I'm going to go down, I'd shorten it. I probably did it 10 times waiting. I mean, at this point, I'm thinking, who am I going to fire when I get back? Who is going to be on the auction? Finally, the phone, they answered the phone after about 30 minutes. I said, what is going on? They said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm here by myself. And I put the phones on hold so I could go get the mail at the front of the building. And somebody came up there and talked to me. And I'm so sorry. I said, okay. I need the address because I was going out to see them at their house. So they gave me the address, hung up the phone. I go out about 3 or 4 miles from Lane Memorial Hospital going out into the country where I'm going. And all of a sudden, I'm getting on this long straight stretch. I look down there, and there's a curve down there. And a car comes flying down that curve and spins off the road and rolls in the field. Man, I speed up real fast. I go out there, and the thing sets up. That car happened to just roll to set up. And I go out there, and the person's in there, and I help the door open and get them out. And you know who it is? It's somebody that he and I used to go and do prison ministry together 20 years before. And he had backslid from God and was drunk as a coot. Come on, somebody. How many know that God, see, my purpose was, I was all upset. How many know God could be in a busy signal? Come on, somebody. You live life in between while you're on the way somewhere. We could miss what God is doing. How many people in America have reached their goals but miss life? How many successful people, men and women, have reached their goals but they've missed life? Because life happens in between. I remember one buddy of mine said the only thing he ever lived for every year was a big vacation they used to go on every summer and as a family. And that's what he looked forward to. And he missed life in between. We could miss what God is doing. If we don't revalue life, the in-between times, the dash, we could miss what God is doing in our life. It may not be God's purpose to get you to that goal. The goal may have been the only thing that God wanted to put you on a road that on that road, you're going to experience life along that road. On and on, and may God want to do. Often our goal is not God's goal. On and on. Isaiah 30 and verse 21 says it this way. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. And many times what God will do is he'll put you on a path, and it's on that path, along that path is your life. Along that path is what God is really purpose of God wanting to do in your life. We can negate what God is doing in our life. On and on and on. You know, you can negate what God is doing. Some people's goal spiritually is Sundays. That's their whole goal. I mean, their spiritual life is Sundays. How many know there's a Monday, there's a Tuesday, there's a Wednesday, there's a Thursday? I remember once they told us this story. And she said she had to repent. She was she said one day she was having a bad time. How many have had a bad time with your kids? She's had a bad time. She was telling them to shut up. How they were done. That way she was saying everything in the book to her kids. And the phone rings, and it's her cell leader. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. God bless you. Yes, it's life fantastic. Help us, Lord. Acts chapter 25, verse 3 says, and as asking a favor against Paul to summon him to Jerusalem because they were planning to ambush to kill him on the way. And sometimes, listen, you can literally kill what God is wanting to do. These guys, because of their jealousy, was about to kill what God was doing. But if we revalue life and realize that life happens in between, listen, God can change your life as you are going on the way. Acts chapter 26, verse 13, this is Saul of Tarsus before he became Paul the Apostle. And notice when this experience happened. He wasn't in a synagogue going, oh, worshiping God. Paul's life was changed, not in a synagogue, not when the music was just right, when the sound system and the air AC was just right. That's not when his life was changed. That's not when he experienced the change of his life. Watch what happened. At midday, O king, I saw on the way. Everybody say on the way. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest people. He was on his way to Damascus to deal with the church, the way, and deal with them from the high council. He was on his way. But on the way, he experienced a life. Let me say, you can be driving on your way to work on airline highway, bumper to bumper, and God can do something in your life. On the way. I remember one time I had a few years ago, I had a bad throat problem. And I remember I was just praying somewhere by myself, and all of a sudden I just felt the thing break loose, and it was just instant. And I'm going to tell you, God can do what he wants to on the way. God can change your life on the way as you can go. He can heal you on the way. Look at this in Luke. God can heal you. It says, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself on the priest. And as they went, see, nothing, he said, go show yourself. And nothing had happened in their life yet. But just as they're going, as they're obeying, as they're on the journey, it didn't happen when they got to the priest, which I thought would have been great, you know, it would have really freaked him out. But as they were going, God cleansed them. As they were going, a lot of healing takes place in between. We think it only happens in healing lines. When somebody prays with you, when somebody lays hands on you, and that does, it happens then. But listen, Acts 3, listen what happens here. It says, and Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from his birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of temple that's called Beautiful, to ask alms of entering the temple. And you know the story, literally, and they took him by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping in praise. See, they didn't make it to the prayer meeting. How do you think God can do it when you're in a grocery store on your way to the prayer meeting? You stop and get gas this morning on the way to church, and God can do a miracle at the gas station. So there's a lot of stuff that happens in between, outside of church, as they were going. Let me end up this morning, give you three constant challenges that I found to live life in the now. Let me give you three challenges. We don't put off, you know, say, you know, God, help me reach my goals. Why don't you pray, say, God, won't you help me live life? God, won't you help me really live life to its fullest? How do we live life in between? Let me give you number one. Jim Elliot, who was a great evangelist, and some of you may have known Jim Elliot's life. He died young. He died on Palm Beach. That's what they called this beach in this country that they were trying to reach, this native group of natives. And he was one of the most intelligent men you'll ever meet in your life. You ought to read about his life. He literally figured out how to fly an airplane and put a speaker in a box, and he knew, he worked out the trajectory to fly an airplane in a circle, and had a box. It was back in the, I'm trying to remember, he was born, I think, in 21, and so it was back in the 40s, how to put a box, how to put a microphone in a box, or a PA system in a box, fly the plane around so the box would stay basically in the same place, and they would speak to these natives down there, because they were headhunters and all this and that, and they would do all this kind of thing. But he said this, he died, I think he was 21 years old, I believe, when he died. I can't remember exactly the age. But he said, wherever you are, be all there. See, this morning, all of you are here physically. But your mind has taken lots of trips. What are we going to eat? Are we going to beat the Baptist or not today? Oh, that appointment I got in the morning, man, that's a big deal. Man, that appointment I got. See, you're here, but you're not here. And Jim Elliot said, one of the best things about life is, wherever you are, be all there. If I'll be in church, I'll be. One time I worked for the state of Louisiana, and we work on the LA-1 down at White Castle, if you know where that's at. And I did roads, and we were resurfacing and doing some stuff on the roads, testing the roads and all that. We had a big sign at the front said, no 18-wheelers allowed because of what we were doing. Well, about 6 miles long. And we're about 2 or 3 miles down it doing it. Here came an 18-wheeler at bypass, and we came on down. Do you know what my boss did? He made that thing back up 2 miles. He made that 18-wheeler back up 2 miles. You know what some of you, the Bible says, taking captive every thought, coming down. Some of you, your brains are so undisciplined. It's like a freeway. Shoom, shoom, shoom. Whatever comes through. You know what you ought to do? You ought to put up a sign and take every thought captive. And wherever you are, be all there. If you're with your kids, be all. Don't be looking. Start doing that. Say, today. I'm sorry, Daddy can't talk to you right now because Daddy's playing with his kids. Just put on. How many know there is? How many know that your cell phones can take a message? And one of the keys about life is you need, wherever you are, be all there. If you're at church, be all here. Why come and discipline your mind? The Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of faith and a sound mind. Everybody say a sound mind. A sound mind or a disciplined mind. Wherever you are, be all there. Mark chapter 5 says, "And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?'" See, he wasn't so focused on Jairus' house that he didn't realize what was taking place right then. So he lived in the moment. He didn't say, "Sorry, I can't deal with this right now because my mind's over here." Wherever he was there. Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, but when the woman touched him, he was there. He didn't shake her off. And I wonder how many miracles we miss. Number two is ruthlessly remove all hurry from your soul. And that is a big deal. I'm not being busy. Oh, I'm busy. Busy I am. But what I don't want to be is hurried in my soul. I don't want to be hurried in my mind, my will, my emotions, all worked up. We're all busy at times, but when you're hurried, it affects your soul. You can be busy, and like I said, that doctor, I watched him between rooms, like, you know, Bugs Bunny. But and then when he got in the room, he just... Listen, when you're a hurried soul, you make wrong decisions. I mean, he may have made a wrong decision having a hurried soul. How many has ever had an accident when you're in a hurry? How many has ever hit anything when you're in a hurry? Yes, and when you have a hurried soul, here's what you think at times. I don't know what to do, but I got to do something. That is the dumbest thing you can ever do in your life. Well, you know, I was planning to get married by the time I was 25, but I'm 32 now. So, you know, some husband's better than no husband. Come on, Willie, come on. I can't share things, but I would share things if I could, but I can't share things. Let me just say, that is the dumbest thing you can ever do in your life. And you know what? I have to help some people because they like their own crack. Come on, somebody. It's like they're so, they got to, you know, I know some house is better than no house. So I'm not going to get an appraisal. I'm not going to get an inspection. I'm just going to believe God. Come on, you are dumber than dirt. Get an inspection. Help me, Jesus. I got to get me move right on. You know what happens when you make some decisions like that? When you're hurried in your soul? For the next, you make a decision, and for the next 20 years, you have to deal with it. Willie might have become your nightmare, but he would have been somebody else's dream come true. And every time you look at Willie, you get angry, because you're not really angry at Willie. You're angry at the dumb decision you make. Okay, let's move right on here and see where else we can go. I heard a song. I just say this. It wasn't a Christian song. I was in a store the other day. I heard this song, and I said, "That I wish I'd have wrote that." And it wasn't a Christian song, but it was this. It was this: "Slow down, baby, you're moving too fast." And a girl behind the counter was singing along with the song as it was piping in over there. It says, "Slow down, baby, you got your hands in the air and your foot on the gas." I thought that will preach. You're about to wreck your future running from your past. Slow down, baby. You're moving too fast. I said, we ought to sing that in church. Come on, somebody. You can pray for me later as you go. But hands in the air, I've seen so many people, hands in the air and foot on the gas. Like, I'm just having a pastor moment here from 40, 50 years of doing this. Okay, hurried decisions affect your life. And, sometimes when you do that, when you got a hurried soul, I'm really useless. And I like what Psalms 46 says. Here it is in the ESV. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations." Okay, look what it says in the New American Standard. "Cease striving and know that I am God." Be still means to cease from striving. Someone's in a hurry. Listen, when it should have been, developed and thought about and decisions made, it was destroyed instead of being killed. See, what happens is you know, just like somebody with their hands in the air and foot on the gas. How many know they're about to have a wreck? They're going too fast. Slow down. You know what happens in life? There's a lot of relationships that have wrecks because we've got our hands in the air and foot on the gas. We're moving too fast. We're just going too. We're a hurried soul. We're just hurried. Come on, get it. Where are you? Rah, 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 rah. And so what happens is literally someone is in a hurry and there was an accident that occurred, like we said. But it should have been developed. It should have been encouraged. Instead, the relationship is destroyed. I love this little video. Watch this. Down the lights again. Watch this little video called Slow Down. And we'll kind of do it in a reverse way. Watch this.
Here's to you. You were pink or blue. And everything I wanted. Here's to you, never sleeping through, from midnight till the morning. Had to crawl before you walked, before you ran, before I knew it. You were trying to free your fingers from my hand, 'cause you could do it on your own now. Somehow, slow down, won't you stay here a minute? It's all too fast. Let's make it last a little while. I pointed to the sky, and now you wanna fly. I am your biggest fan. I hope you know I am. But do you think you can somehow slow down? To you, every missing tooth, every bedtime story. Here's to Barbie cars, lightsaber wars, sleeping in on Sunday. Had to crawl before you walked, before you ran, before I knew it. You were teaching me the only thing love can, hold hands through it when it's scary. You've got me. Let's slow down. Won't you stay here a minute more? I know you wanna walk through the door, but it's all too fast. Let's make it last a little while. I pointed to the sky, and now you wanna fly. I am your biggest fan.
Keep the lights a little bit low, if you would. You can keep it slow. The last one is, go ahead and bring the lights back down. Or can you, it's a little hard. We've got a new light system. Balance your life between people and tasks. That's the last thing. Balance your life between people and tasks. Some of you are just people persons. You don't get anything done. You just, you know, no. But some of you are so task-oriented that literally you never enjoy people. Enjoy your life. So one of the keys I love to, as you love people, as long as, you know, you love people as long as they don't get in your way. Come on, somebody. But life happens in between, and we're going to do one last little video. I felt today was, I normally never do three videos in a service, but I did because I felt the Lord say it's better caught than taught. You just need to know that you get one chance in life to go around with your children, and then they're gone. And so I made up my mind, the best accusation I ever had against my life, the best accusation was you spend too much time with your kids. I had somebody accuse me of that one time. I said, thank you. Can I say thank you and thank you again? Because today, all my kids love God. They just don't pretend, and they love God. I wanted godly kids, not just good. I wanted good kids, but I wanted godly kids too. So last one called, you only have one chance to love. Watch this. We're going to end up.
He never thought he cared so much about the minute hand until he started praying for a second chance. If he could only do it all again, he'd trade the long nights that he spent behind his desk for all he missed. He tells his wife, I wish that this moment in this room was not me dying, but just spending a little time with you. You only get just one time around. You only get one shot at this. One chance to find out the one thing that you don't want to miss. One day when it's all said and done, I hope you see that it was enough. This one ride, one try, one life to love. She never thought she'd care so much about those little hands held on tight the day she left, till she was scared to death. Sitting all alone on a hotel bed, the end of the road, the sun has set on her big plans to feel young again. She picks up the phone, dials the number, hears that little voice that's haunted every single mile since she made that choice. You only get just one time around. You only get one shot at this. One chance to find out the one thing that you don't want to miss. One day when it's all said and done, I hope you see that it was enough. This one ride, one try.
If you would. The very last quote. Jim Elliot said this. Bring your lights down just a little bit. No, the very last quote of Jim Elliot. You have that one up there? This is what he says. No, the very last quote of Jim Elliot. The very last one. Here we go. When it comes time to die, make sure all you have to do is die. I don't know if you've ever been to Carpenter's House, but they do a fantastic job at Carpenter's House. And Carpenter's House is a place run by the Catholic Church that's over on Airline Highway, I believe. I can't remember. Right near off Airline, near Sherwood Forest Boulevard. And many times I've learned so much from the chaplains there because they deal with right before people die continually. And one of the things they many, many times do is they say, you know, the person hasn't passed away yet because he's still dealing with stuff. He's got this going on, that going on. You need to forgive him, or he needs to forgive you, and all these different things. It really is a lot of wisdom there. But But I like what Jim Elliot said. It says, when it comes time to die, make sure all you have to do is die. You've done all your healing of relationships. You've done all. You don't have to worry and wish I had never just done all this. And one of the keys of life is, wherever you are right now, you can start over. You can start right where you are. Don't wreck your life by looking in your past. Don't let your past wreck your life. Start where you are now. You may have had your hand to the air and your foot on the gas. You're going too fast. But you know what the good thing is? God's mercy is new every morning. And this is a new morning, and God's mercy is brand new this morning. And you can change the rest of your life. And so I want you to just close your eyes. And if you were to die today, would that be all you'd have to do is die? When it comes time to die, make sure all you have to do is die. You don't have to deal with this and that. And forgive me, I need to go make it right with that person. I need my kids around me because I never had time with them. And No. When it comes time to die, make sure all you have to do is die. So this morning, I just want to ask you, I don't know where you're at. I don't know how fast your life is moving and going. But in our society, probably the majority of us has just got a hurried soul, just a hurried soul. And we might be so task-oriented that we are neglecting the people of our lives that really value. Because John Wesley said, I value all things only by the price tag, what they will be worth in eternity. I'm going to tell you, in eternity, the new car will not be worth anything. Not only eternity, but in 50 years, it'll be in a junk pile somewhere, recycled and da-da-da. All those things that we value, this morning, I just want to do this. As you're going into the world, as you're going to work, go to work. But as you're going to work, live life. As you're making a living, live. As you're doing all these things, take time with what values the most in life. So, Lord, I pray this morning that every soul in this place that has a hurried soul, their mind, the will, and the emotions are hurried. And so they're having wrecks, in relation wrecks and relational wrecks and physical wrecks, but especially within families and relationships and all that. That, Lord, you would do a work in our lives this morning that we would slow down, baby. We're going too fast. And live life afresh and new. And Lord, we love you with all our hearts today. I ask a blessing on every soul, every family. I pray for every dad and every mom in this place. Lord, today would be a new day. Even this day, Sunday, and the rest of the afternoon would be a different day. Parks and going out together and movies, all this, they would just take some time and enjoy each other. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Everybody said amen today. Give Lord one more good clap offering if you would. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday at Mother's Day.